The song, Christmas in the Trenches, tells the story of the Western Front during the first winter of the First World War. In the week leading up to Christmas, German, British, and French soldiers made a brief truce and ventured into no man's land. In some areas, the truce only lasted half an hour, long enough to retrieve the dead and wounded. In other areas, though, the soldiers put down their arms, serenaded one another with Christmas carols, shared chocolates and stories and photographs from home. There's even tale that some units ended up having pickup soccer matches against one another. The song, Christmas in the Trenches, ends with these lines. Soon, daylight stole upon us, and France was France once more. With sad farewells, we each began to settle back to war. But the question haunted every heart that lived that wondrous night. Whose family have I fixed within my sights? It was Christmas in the trenches where the frost so bitter hung. The frozen fields of France were warmed as songs of peace were sung. For the walls they'd kept between us to exact the work of war had been crumbled and were gone forevermore. The ones who call the shots won't be among the dead and lame. On each end of the rifle, we're the same. Friends, the reason that this is such a powerful Christmas story is not because it happened at the end of December. It's an incredible Christmas story because it embodies the radical, life-altering story that we celebrate tonight. As Marcus Borg writes in his book, The God We Never Knew, the point is not that Jesus was a good guy and that who accepted everybody and thus we should do the same. Borg points out that that would be good, though. Rather, his teachings and behavior reflect an alternative social vision. Jesus was not talking about how to be good and how to behave within a framework of a domination system. He was a critic of the domination system itself. Christmas is, at its very heart, a strike at the empire. It's God's alternative vision to Caesar and war and violence. How so, you might ask? Well, we've domesticated the Christmas story over the years into a birthday party for a baby who doesn't cry. But Jim Wallace, the editor of Sojourners Magazine, reminds us that in the Christmas story, mangers are more important in God's world than hotels. And the word comes to poor shepherds before billionaires in God's world. Humility wins over pathetic boasting in God's world. Peace and mercy triumph over angry attacking in God's world. When politics gives us nothing but weary words, oh, how we need that thrill of hope from a new and glorious morn. If you were listening to that duet that Chris and Rita sang so beautifully for us in our prelude, you heard the words, truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains he shall break because the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. This is the great reversal of Christmas. In God's name, all oppression and racial bigotry and the fueling of division and conflict for political self-aggrandizement shall cease. Christmas is a strike at the empire. Without offering it too many spoilers, I'd like to suggest that the new Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi, can be seen as a Christmas movie. It's a story of striking back at the empire. In The Last Jedi, we find our heroes at a precarious turning point. Despite the fact that all hope seems to be lost, despite the fact that there is barely a remnant of the resistance left, Vice Admiral Holdo holds firm, proclaiming all across the galaxy, the oppressed and downtrodden know our symbol, and it gives them hope. We are the spark that will light the fire of resistance. Did you hear that? We are the spark that will light the fire of resistance. But notice, the resistance makes its greatest inroads not by using the tactics of the empire, but those of the resistance. This is exemplified best when Rose in the movie proclaims, "That's how we're going to win. Not by fighting what we hate, but by saving what we love." In Christmas, God does not fight what is hateful. God saves what God loves. Joe Kay, the associate pastor at Nexus United Church of Christ in Butler County, Ohio, writes that the manger is a subversive story. It erases the lines we draw between ourselves and others. It turns our values and our ways of thinking upside down. This story begins with the approval of a woman. An angel is sent to Mary, not Joseph. It's Mary who gets to decide by herself whether the Jesus story will unfold. Her let it be, her consent, makes everything possible. The Christmas story also warns us never to think that our theology, our religion, or our country matters more than others. The Magi, visitors from different lands, different cultures, different religions, are welcomed and given an equal place in this subversive story. The manger reminds us of a baby born in the humblest settings to poor parents from an impoverished community. Jesus is not born in a castle surrounded by royalty and privilege. He's important, not because of what he has or where he lives, but because of how he brings love, healing, and reconciliation into the world. The Christmas story is a direct assault on how we perceive importance. It challenges the notion that the powerful and the wealthy deserve their privilege and that we should all strive to be like them. It also defeats the notion that the poor, the homeless, and refugees don't matter, that they're, you know, all slackers anyway. Maybe this is why King Herod wanted Jesus dead. This baby would spend his life challenging the king's value system. Woe to the rich! Blessed are the poor! The first are last, the last are first. The ones considered the least among us are the greatest. The ones who consider themselves great are actually the least able to bring about God's unconditional love, compassion, and healing in the world. The Christmas story is meant to turn our world inside out. The sight of poor refugee parents and a humbly born baby surrounded by dirty shepherds and visitors from other religions and races and cultures should jolt us. And so again, following the Christ of Christmas is a means of striking back at the empire, the values of the empire, a means of aligning ourselves once more with what God values. If all of this talk of empire is too abstract for you, let me share with you a story from Harriet Ritchie, a writer from Anderson, South Carolina. She and her family had been to a Christmas Eve service that ended after midnight. After worship, her husband said that he was hungry and so he wanted breakfast, but being almost 1 a.m., most of the places that they would normally go were closed. So they made their way to the interstate to one of those 24-hour truck stops. A few big diesels rumbled outside. Inside, a few truckers sat at the counter. A jukebox played country music. On the front window was a string of colored lights blinking out of tune and out of time. The place smelled like stale bacon grease and even more stale coffee. A one-armed man behind the counter nodded the family over to a booth. Then a waitress named Vera sauntered over, handed them their menus, and asked what they wanted to drink. Harriet looked around. She knew she was being a little bit of a snob. She felt a little out of place. Her family had just come from a beautiful Christmas Eve service, and soon they'd be headed to their lovely home and their matching pajamas for the night. She thought that, you know, one day they'd all look back and laugh and say to each other, "Remember that Christmas that we ate breakfast at the truck stop? That awful music and those tacky lights?" She was staring out the window when an old Volkswagen van drove up. A young man with a beard and baggy jeans got out, walked around, and opened the door for a young woman who was holding a baby. They hurried inside and both took a booth near the back. After Vera, the waitress, took their order, the baby began to cry, and neither of the young parents could quiet him. Finally, Vera set down her coffee pot and held her arms out for the baby. "Hon, just sit there and drink your coffee. Let me see what I can do." Soon, it was evident that Vera had done this before. She began walking around the place, showing the baby first to one of the truckers, then to another. One began whistling a Christmas tune and making silly faces, and quickly, the baby stopped crying. In fact, even started cooing. Vera showed the baby the blinking lights on the jukebox. She brought the baby over to Harriet's table and said, "Just look at this, darling. Mine are so big and grown, they don't need me much anymore." The one-armed fellow behind the counter brought a fresh pot of coffee, and as he refilled their mugs, Harriet felt tears in her eyes. Her husband wanted to know what was wrong. "Nothing," she said. "Just Christmas." Reaching into her purse for a Kleenex and some change, she said to her own kids, "Go see if you can find a Christmas song on the jukebox." When they were gone, Harriet quietly said, almost just to herself, "He would have come here, wouldn't he?" "Who?" her husband asked. "Jesus. If he were born tonight and the choices were our neighborhood, the church, or this truck stop, he'd be right here, wouldn't he?" Her husband didn't answer right away, but looked around the place at the people there, and finally he said, "I suppose either here or at a homeless shelter." "That's what bothers me," Harriet said. "When we first got here, I felt sorry for these people because they probably weren't going home to nice neighborhoods where the houses have candles in the windows and matching wreaths on the doors. And listening to that awful music, I thought, I bet nobody here has ever even heard of Handel. Now, I think that more than any place I know, this is where Christmas is." Friends, if we read the gospel, we discover that God's value system and economy are very different from ours. By bringing the Savior into the world in a poor country town to an illiterate, unwed teenage refugee, by proclaiming the birth to lowly shepherds, God invites us into a whole new way of being. Indeed, God invites us into a new hope. My prayer tonight is that we will commit ourselves to being Christmas Christians, that we will commit ourselves to living out the gospel, which is achieved not by violence, but by love. Not by fighting what we hate, but by saving what we love. May it be so.